Okay, we are starting our new series called The Thankfulness Experience, because it's a tragedy if we only are thankful on one Thursday in the month. And so what we try to do is we take this entire month to be intentionally thankful, grateful, and provide different ways to experience that. One way, when you came in this morning, you had this on your seat. So I need you to pull this out. Everybody has one. Everybody has one. What we will be doing this month with this is you're going to take this home with you. And every day, write down 10 things that you are thankful for. Some people do it in the morning when they first get up. It's a great way to start your day. Other people do it around the dinner table as a family. And everybody writes it down and then you share. Other people do it at the conclusion of their day. Whatever works for you, 10 things you're thankful for every day. Some people go, does it have to be a new thing the next day? And that's between you and your pen and Jesus. I mean, if you're thankful for the same thing every day, that's not a bad thing. But chances are there's at least 70 things you're thankful for or should be thankful for. So that's what you're going to be doing, and you're going to bring the baggie back. Because if you look at the cross behind me, it's a large, kind of ugly cross right now. Here's the thing. A life without the practice of thankfulness is a pretty ugly life. But we're going to be using our thankfulness to bring some beauty to that. A life filled with intentional gratitude is a far more beautiful life. So take this home with you. 10 things every day. Then on Sunday, you bring this back because we're going to be doing a special offering with just this. That being said, reach into it right now. Pull out one piece and wave it in the air. See, the Huffmans are already on that. Wave it in the air. Okay. We're going to start this morning with it. There are 8 cards in it this time. Take this one, and you're going to write down 10 things that you are thankful for. And then when the band begins to sing and we start singing together, bring them up, and you're going to put them on the communion table. If you're unable to get up or if it's awkward for you, hand it to somebody who is going up. We're going to get all of them put up here. So that's going to be our first thankfulness experience moment. 10 things, and when the band starts to sing, bring it on up. In addition to the cards that we'll be using throughout the month, there's another way you can experience thankfulness or thanksgiving throughout this month. When you came in, you also saw this. It says heart check. We do this every year during this month. Jesus said this, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So if you want to know the condition of your heart, pay attention to how you're using your treasures and what you treasure. We encourage you, inside it and on the back, 3 things to do. And this is a great way to do a heart check. If you go to a doctor, there's a way that you do a heart check. When you're doing this kind of heart check, the practice of gratitude, prayer, and faith. And so there's some steps to do to help you practice gratitude. There are a couple of suggestions for how to be praying. And then the faith becomes, how are you going to act upon this? I will make a guarantee to you. If you do the baggie of cards throughout the month, and if you do the heart check, at the end of the month, your life will be different. I will promise you that. I would go as far to say your life will be better. I won't guarantee that it will be easier, but it will be good and it will be better. The temptation will be, I'm fine. I really encourage you, be intentional this month. Check in your heart, practicing thankfulness. All right? One more thing we're going to be doing this month is we are going to be each Sunday morning, as part of the sermon, looking at a different facet of thankfulness or what it takes to be thankful. This morning, we're going to be looking at the word blessed or blessing. Unfortunately, we use this word in so many different scenarios that we get a little confused of what it's really all about. Someone sneezes, we say, God bless you. We haven't even thought about the fact that we said bless. It's just our habit. You've heard the term bless his heart. I've learned, my sister-in-law is from Pell City, Alabama, and I've learned what bless his heart means. It means he's an idiot. You know, Billy decided to go put on a blindfold and ride his bike down the hill. He fell over, broke his arm, bless his heart. If you drive around, you're going to see bumper stickers that say, God bless America. You will hear people say, oh, so-and-so is so blessed, or so-and-so is such a blessing to me. I mean, we use the word bless often, but we rarely take time to really understand what it is and what it isn't. One of the guys I was reading this past week had this to say. He said, I occasionally hear Christians reflect on how God has blessed them throughout their lives. Sometimes this idea of blessing includes things like good health or the birth of children and grandchildren. Sometimes it refers to the joy of seeing a family member walk with God. Those are blessings indeed. But some people who say they have been blessed by God are also talking about their material prosperity. Sometimes, in fact, they're talking only about their material prosperity. In the minds of many, God's blessing and our material prosperity are one and the same. If I have a good marriage, a successful job, a nice home in the suburbs, and beautiful children, it must mean that God is happy with me and showing me his blessing through all of these things. Why else would my life be so full and rich? While that type of thinking is common, it's not necessarily biblical. Okay, so the scriptural understanding of biblical. I'm going to introduce you to two Hebrew words, two Greek words. These words are translated into the English language as blessed, bless, or blessing. First word is the word barak. There are two different ways the Hebrew word barak is used. One way is to fill with benefits. So if somebody has been baraked, they have received benefits. Oftentimes, the usage of the word barak in the Bible to fill with benefits is referring to material, referring to having family, referring to stuff. Great example is taken out of Genesis 24. Abraham's servant tells Laban, the Lord has blessed, baraked my master abundantly, and he has become wealthy. So Abraham has been provided for with materials, with provisions, and it says that he has been baraked. Here's the thing. It doesn't only mean material provision. Oftentimes it does, but it doesn't always. But there's a second way that the word barak is used and to be understood. To bend the knee, worship, or praise. Actually, the root of the word barak is talking about your knees and such. And so the imagery to barak is to kneel, to worship, to praise, to adore. And so when you're reading in the Psalms, and we sang it as well, say, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The bless in this psalm is barak. The idea is, oh, I'm going to humble myself before the one that has provided for me. I'm going to kneel, and I'm going to lift up his name in praise. So those are the two ways that the word barak is used in the Old Testament for bless. The second word, Hebrew word, is the word Esher. Esher. Esher means this, to be happy, content, in a good place. It's different from Barak. Barak, I have been provided for, or I am lifting up his name in praise. To understand blessing as Esher is to go, oh, I'm in a happy, content, good spot in my life. You see this in Psalm 1, Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. This is the same thinking that you'll see in Proverbs chapter 3. Now, listen to this. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. In Proverbs 3 and in Psalm 1, in talking about Esher, essentially what the psalmist and the writer of Proverbs is saying is this: here's the way to live. Live this way, and you will experience Esher. You will have blessing. You will be in a happier, more content place. You'll be in a better spot personally. You'll be in a better spot relationally. If you live the way that Yahweh has called you to live, Esher is experienced. It's important to remember that blessing, whether Barak or Esher in the Old Testament, is almost always linked to relationship with God and living the way that God has called you to live. So there's your Old Testament, there's your Hebrew. Jumping into the New Testament, you get the word Makarios. I love this description of Makarios. To be fully satisfied. It refers to those receiving God's favor regardless of the circumstances. Makarios is the Greek version of Esher. You're in a good place. Blessed is this person. They're in a good place. There's a contentment there. I was reading another author this past week, and this is a little long, so forgive me, but I loved his reflection on the idea of Makarios, this blessing. He writes, one of my favorite scripture passages is the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus lists what it means to be blessed. It's certainly not what comes to my mind when I think of being blessed or when I pray for others to be blessed. Remember all those childhood prayers? Bless mommy, bless daddy, bless Auntie Sue. We had no idea what we were saying. We were actually saying, let them be poor in spirit, mourning, meek, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, merciful, pure, peacemakers, and persecuted. So how could such things lead to happiness? It seems like they lead more to the opposite of happiness. But the Beatitudes tell us one thing clearly. We can never be happy when we live self-centered lives. We may be fooled into thinking we're happy for a while, but eventually it will fold in on us, because true happiness can be found only in a relationship with our Creator. Only the one who made us knows what will truly make us happy and give us satisfaction in life. We have to get to the end of ourselves and the beginning of God to gain a lasting contentment in life. Jesus goes to great lengths to describe the peace that exemplifies the kingdom of God, the realm of the rulership of Christ over one's heart, body, and mind. It's a realm where violence is not an alternative, where enemies are forgiven, where one gives to all who ask and does not judge. It is a kingdom of forgiveness, fullness, mercy, and eternal life. The kingdom ruled by riches, however, is one of spending and thrift, pride and shame, and constant comparison with others and what others have. Given notions of scarcity and feelings of unsatisfied desire, conflict is born. and perpetual unhappiness becomes the status quo, despite the acquirement of many things, all of which I am ultimately ungrateful for and which I take for granted. All the thanks that we give once a year on Thanksgiving Thursday is canceled out on Black Friday. Makarios is to be fully satisfied. To understand blessing as Makarios is to understand to be blessed is to be fully satisfied, and only in relationship with Christ do we experience that level of satisfaction. So that's Makarios, which takes us to the last Greek word, eulogio. Eulogio. It means give a good report or say a good word to speak well of. It's where we get the word eulogy, where someone stands up and says something nice about that person. That's a blessing. To have somebody say something nice about you, that's a blessing. It's different from Makarios. It's a little different from Esher and from Barak, but you see how they all kind of go together. This is what the Bible says is blessing. It's important to note in the New Testament that there is no hint of material prosperity or perfect circumstances in any New Testament reference to blessing. On the contrary, blessing is typically connected with either poverty and trial or the spiritual benefits of being joined by faith in Jesus. Read through the New Testament. I challenge you. Find a place where blessing, whether eulogio or makarios, is linked to material prosperity. You're going to read for a long time trying to find that link in the New Testament. It will talk about being fully satisfied, despite the circumstances, despite what you have or don't have. So, what then is blessing? Blessing, anything God gives that makes us fully satisfied in Him. Those last two words in that sentence are really important. Anything that makes us fully satisfied in Him, not in us, but in Him, that's a blessing. Show me somebody that has a lot of material provision and all the circumstances in their life are just going swimmingly. I'll show you somebody more prone to self-reliance than God-dependence. Anything that God gives that makes us fully satisfied in Him. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus, that's a blessing. If you want to understand what blessing is, anything that draws you closer to Jesus. Isn't it interesting? I bet you every person in this room has this type of story. You look back at a time in your life when things were going completely wrong. When life was in chaos. Chances are every person in this room has this version of the story. You can look back at a time in your life when life was upside down, and you look back and you realize, you know what? I was experiencing the presence of God more intimately in that time than when everything was going well. A friend of mine went through a season that was just hell on earth. And when that season came to a close, he said something I've never forgotten. He says, "What I have experienced has been invaluable, but I wouldn't pay a plug nickel to do it again." But the thing is, when we go through those seasons, when we are in great need, when there is pain and frustration, as followers of Jesus, those are the times that we tend to go, I experienced something new and powerful about the reality of God and Jesus and the Spirit. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus is a blessing. You might look at it and go, that was hell on earth. But my goodness, I experienced Jesus in that time. That made it a blessing. So anything that God gives that makes us fully satisfied in Him, blessing. Anything that draws us closer to Jesus, blessing. Finally, anything that helps us relinquish the temporal and become increasingly passionate about the kingdom of God, that is a blessing. And again, oftentimes this is in a season of loss. When we suddenly are in great need, then we go, oh, I was able to let go of that thing that I once thought I needed because now I became fully satisfied and dependent upon Jesus, and now I'm passionate about what Jesus is doing. Anything that's going to get you on board with being a part of the mission of Jesus is a blessing, is an absolute blessing. Here's the reality. Everybody in this room is tremendously blessed. Everybody in this room is tremendously blessed. You have all been barakked. Absolutely. You have been provided for with material. And if you think you haven't been, consider this. Every person in this room is among the 4% wealthiest people in the world. Every person in this room is among the 4% wealthiest in the world. You have been, we have been provided for. Now, whether we acknowledge this is from God or not, that's a whole different thing. But you have been provided for. And when we are in relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, we get to experience a level of Esher and Makarios that is transformative. Because we have a relationship with Jesus and the Holy Spirit resides within us, we have a peace and a joy and a power that the rest of the world longs for. We have that. We have been blessed. And I hope that there are people out there that eulogio you, that say nice things about you. Hopefully you're living a life that people go, you know, that person, I really like them. They do wonderful things. So hopefully you've got all four types of blessing in your life. The question becomes, not do we, have we been blessed? Yes, we have. The question becomes, what do we do with the blessing? What are we supposed to do with this? If you're going to read through the scriptures, probably the two most popular or most often referred to blessing passages in the Bible, one, Matthew chapter 5, beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. A little preview for you. Lent this year, we're walking through the Sermon on the Mount together. And it begins with the Beatitudes. So we're going to get some serious, blessed are they, blessed are they's. The other one that is often referred to when talking about blessing is Genesis chapter 12, where God calls Abraham. And he says, the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household, basically leave everything that you have, and go to a land that I will show you. Not that I'm showing you, but I will. Just get up and go, and once you go, I'll show you something. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. There is a phrase used to describe these verses. Perhaps you're familiar with it. Blessed to be a blessing. This is God's plan. God says, I am going to bless you, Abraham. Why? So that you can bless everybody else. So if we're asking the question, what am I supposed to do with all of this blessing in my life? Because we've got tons of blessing in our life. We have Barak. We have Esher. We have Makarios. We have tons of blessing in our lives. What are we supposed to do with it? Genesis chapter 12. Recognize that we have been blessed by God, and then share the blessing. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to recognize that we've been provided for with materials. What are we supposed to do with that? Share. God's going, I'm giving you all this stuff. Share it. You have a car. Share it. I've told you this story before because I just love it. A friend of mine calls me up one day and says, Mike, can you give me a ride? Sure, I had time, I went and picked up my friend. I picked him up and I asked him, I said, where's your van? He says, I gave it to a family. You gave it to a family, when do you get it back? He goes, no, you don't understand, Mike. I gave it to a family. I go, well, how are you going to get around? He says, that's why I called you. But my friend understood. He was given not for himself and to keep it, but to give it away. That's why I called you. Wait, I had a car. Now I got to drive him around. You have been given so much. What are we supposed to do with it? Following the example of what was in Genesis chapter 12, share it. You have been given a way to live. If you're reading through the Proverbs and the Psalms, you're reading the Sermon on the Mount, you're reading the teachings of Jesus, he is showing us a way to live. He goes, and if you live this way, you will experience Esher and Makarios. We have that. We have a way of life that is filled with hope and joy and grace and compassion. What are we supposed to do with that blessing? Share it. We get to share this with other people. We are in the most affluent culture in the history of the world, filled with depression and angst. And we have the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the Esher, why we have the Makarios. What are we supposed to do? Share it. I'm blessing you, God says, so you can bless other people with the way of Jesus. You have been blessed with a relationship with the Almighty God. The God that created the whole world with a spoken word and yet knows you intimately and desires relationship with you, a relationship filled with compassion and love. This is what you have. You've been given this relationship with God through Jesus. You've been empowered by the Spirit. What are you supposed to do with the blessing? Share it. Do not hoard the Barak. Do not hoard the Makarios. Do not hoard the Esher. We have been blessed, like Abraham before us, to be a blessing. I came across a series of questions, and I went, ooh, as I think about blessing in my life, these were important. There are four questions. I want you to pick one. One of these four questions, you go, you know what? That one got me. I need to pay attention to this question. So here we go. What am I seeking more than anything else? What am I seeking more than anything else? It's a very revealing question if we have the courage to answer it honestly. Am I following Christ, expecting earthly gifts of comfort and prosperity to follow? If I follow Jesus, then I get all this. By the way, the health and wealth gospel might be one of the great heresies of our time. Am I following Christ, expecting earthly gifts of comfort and prosperity to follow? Or am I seeking Christ because he is the ultimate blessing and worth every sacrifice? Why are you following Jesus? Because you're hoping if you give five, you're going to get 10 back. Or are you following Jesus because, you know what? He's worth giving up everything for. Third question. Are my comforts causing me to be lukewarm rather than living with ongoing repentance and zealousness for the gospel of Jesus? On the one hand, our incredible wealth gives us the opportunity to make an incredible difference. And on the other side, our incredible wealth drags us down. Again, show me somebody that is very comfortable. I'll show you somebody who's probably more prone to be self-reliant than God-dependent, and I would be the first one to say it happens to me. Are my comforts causing me to be lukewarm rather than living with ongoing repentance and zealousness for the gospel of Jesus? And finally, how am I tangibly and regularly sharing the blessings? How am I tangibly and regularly sharing the blessings? I challenged you a moment ago to pick one. All good questions. I've been wrestling with all four of these all week long. But was there one that went, ouch? Or one that goes, hmm? All right, we're going to do the show of hands thing. How many of you, when you heard the question, went, yep, number one, that's the one I need to pay attention to? All right. God, for the people that just raised their hand, I ask that you give them courage this week to seek an answer to this. God, quiet their souls so that they can hear your whisper this week. How many of you, it was number two, the second question that got you? Let me pray for you. God, I ask that you would overwhelm the people that just raised their hand. Overwhelm them with the reality of your son, Jesus Christ, so that they have a clear picture between the earthly gifts and the reality of your son. And when they're able to see those things clearly, the choice will be so much easier for them. So God, reveal your son, Jesus, to them this week. How many of you said number three, are my comforts causing me to be lukewarm? All right, let me pray for us. Father, we are thankful for the fact that you desire more for us and from us than a lukewarm existence. So, Father, help us that we're raising our hands to humble ourselves before you. Develop in our hearts and minds a spirit of repentance if needed. And God, fill us with your spirit so that we can have an increased zealousness for your kingdom. How many pick number four? How am I tangibly and regularly sharing the blessing? God, I ask that you'd be with these folks that had their hands raised. God, reveal to them both how they are currently sharing as well as ways to share so they can fully experience the joy that is only experienced in sharing what you have given us. God, thank you for the ways that you have blessed us, and we're sorry for the ways that we've misused the word and misused the blessing. God, restore us to be a people that live into and out of the ways that you have blessed us. And we pray this all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.